Here we go, we're in Beshalach. I'm going to actually do something I don't usually do, which is read from the beginning. Now, in this expression, we have Az Yashir, which Shadal really loves poetry in the Hebrew Bible. He really finds ancient forms of Hebrew fascinating and tries to uncover exactly where they come from. So we'll get there eventually, hopefully. But in the beginning of the parsha, we have something very strange. God, when the people left Egypt, when Paro sent out the nation, Shadal actually says, it doesn't say Kishalach, like when he sent them out, rather in sending them out, like at the time in which he sent them out, that's when God started to think, so to speak, of not doing what? Not sending them the direct path to Eretz Yisrael. It says in the first pasuk in Beshalach, it says, "V'lo nacham ha'elokim derech Eretz Plishtim." God did not direct them towards the close land of Israel, Kikarovu, because it's close. Right. The fact that it is close. Although there are other definitions, I saw that, I think it's Tosos Zasakanim, is the fact that it is, because the Jewish people are so close to God, meaning that he had such a close connection to them, he didn't want them to go into war and then turn back, something like that. But okay, fine. But Kikarovu sounds like it's talking about distance. Israel was so close. Ki Amar Elokim, because God said, in his heart, so to speak, lest the people turn back in seeing war, Bishavu Mitzrayma, and they're going to go back to Egypt. The fear was apparently going too quickly to Eretz Yisrael, they would encounter war too fast, and for some reason they would turn back. Doesn't say exactly why, so God takes them on a roundabout route. That's what it says in the pasuk. Okay, so Shaddai wants to figure out what is God thinking? What exactly is this? Now, it happens to be that preceding him was the Rambam. The Rambam, not a lot of people recognize how the Rambam uses this pasuk. Because in his discussion of Karbanos, right, the famous discussion that the Rambam has in the third chelek to the guide, the third section, he goes through a lot of the ta'amei mitzvah, the reasons for the mitzvah, and for sacrifices, the famous reason he gives is that why are sacrifices given in the Torah? Isn't that so pagan? Isn't that so backwards? The Rambam says sacrifices were actually something that the Jewish people expected to as part of their worship of God. If they didn't have sacrifices, they would have rebelled against the Torah, against God, because they were so used to the idea of sacrifice as a part of worship. It would be, says the Rambam, like if a prophet came today and told us not to pray, but to rather like meditate on God. He says, we would rebel against that also. We wouldn't know what that kind of worship would mean. So the Rambam says, the Karbanos, most of Vayikra, you know, and the entire like focus of Mashiach coming back, and so much of our lives are dedicated, a huge section of Shas is dedicated to Karbanos, and all of this, according to the Rambam, is to kind of like help the people wean themselves off of idolatry, which they were so used to this version of worship, such that they, if they didn't have it, they would have rebelled. And so what God did was he said, okay, do these karbanos, but only in a certain place, at a certain time, with these kind of karbanos, not those kind of karbanos, and only to the one God. And all of that would wean them off of idolatry. And so he says the Rambam, it's fascinating, he says, I know you're going to scream at me and curse at me, and I know that you're going to hate me for this, because what I basically said is that karbanos don't have any intrinsic meaning of their own. They're not actually valuable insofar as like doing the act does something in heaven, or like that God is particularly pleased by karbanos. He's only pleased insofar as you're not doing idolatry. You know, it's like not, it doesn't have a value of its own. He says, I know you're going to yell at me for that. But you know what? God does this. God does this, and how do I know? He does it in Beshalach, in this pasuk. The fact is that God will not change people's minds willy-nilly. He doesn't change people's free will. And therefore, what God is doing here is basically taking them on a roundabout route to get to Eretz Yisrael, even though the goal is to get to Eretz Yisrael. He's taking them on a roundabout route, which is quote-unquote wrong. It's the wrong way to Eretz Yisrael because of other factors, of things that's wrong with them that they have an issue with, that they would get scared of war and they would turn back. So the idea is that God is willing to commend the people and direct the people on a path that is roundabout in order to get to an eventual goal that is correct.
And it's interesting that you say that because, like, we had a big conversation around Mark here.
Oh, yeah?
We need a physical reminder. It's humans. Right. It's just something that we need.
Right. So this is even worse, meaning karbanos aren't even what you get out of it. It's that it's the stupid people need it. Not even, like, that you get value out of it. It's to prevent you from bad values, like from idolatry. What?
Like the Kohanim.
I don't know what you mean.
Because they're the ones who do the sacrifice.
I guess so. I don't know. But also people are, like, donating to the Beis Hamikdash and stuff. Okay, anyway, so the Rambam says that this is the proof pasuk for that. That God is willing to do that. And in fact, in Imam HaTechidah Meitim, I always quote this, the Rambam says that this is true also for beliefs. It's not true, just true for mitzvah. The Rambam says, based on this pasuk also, he quotes this pasuk, that God sometimes will give you beliefs in the Torah. Like, well, on an external level, the Torah will tell you beliefs are quote-unquote wrong. They're not incorrect, or they're simplistic, because God knows that eventually you'll progress to better mitzvah, better beliefs, or more correct beliefs. So that's really interesting. And he says, you know, like, for example, Olam Haba is not described in the Torah at all, right? The idea of getting a eternal, like, a spiritual reward is not mentioned in the Torah. Rather, you get, like, all this physical stuff. If you keep the mitzvah, God will prevent disease from happening to you. If you keep the mitzvah, you'll get rain in the proper time. And the reason is because the people then needed certain beliefs or certain rewards, that because they couldn't understand the more loftier rewards, and he uses this pasuk for that purpose as well, that God will take them on a roundabout route till they get to the proper goal. Okay, anyway, let's look at Shaddal on this concept, and I think that Shaddal might have this in mind. I don't know, I see a lot of echoes here. He says, Lo nacham, right? God didn't lead them, didn't let them go on to the direct path. Hashem lo yishane pitom libot b'nei adam. God does not suddenly change people's hearts. Achit nahegim ish v'ish lat lat. What he does is he deals with them very slowly. He teaches them al pi midot atav v'tivo, by, like, demonstrating for them his traits, right, according to a man's traits and according to man's nature. V'hinei Yisrael b'tzeitam mibeit avadim. When the Jews left, when Yisrael left the house of slavery, what kind of mindset do you think they have? Lo'ya efshar shiyu ba'alei gvura ve'omitz leiv. It's not possible that they would be like a strong and stubborn people yet. They're slaves, they're weak, they're scared. Right? And he says, the Ibn Ezra in Yudalek Gimel says this similarly. Lavo miyad lihilachem b'shiva amamin. To suddenly, right, they just left Egypt, they're weak people, they're skinny, they're gaunt, right? And they just leave Egypt, and now they have to fight seven nations. It's impossible to expect that. Lurashet et ha'aretz, and to, like, inherit the land. V'gamim haya Hashem notna b'yadam. And even if God, like, shows them all these miracles and that he's going to help them, it doesn't matter. I mean, you still have to, you know, you might see all these miracles from God, but you're the one who has to fight this war, right? They were not yet a nation, an independent nation. They couldn't yet deal even temperately. Right? Ki avadim haporkim me ol tzavaram, me al tzavaram, pitom ol sha avot kaved, o yishar b'libam orech, o yitabchu el katza acher. It's impossible, and the Rambam has this language exactly, it's impossible to have a nation of slaves who have just cast off the ol of one, you know, the yoke of terrible, you know, hardships, and to expect them to go to a completely other extreme where they're these independent, free, courageous people. That's not the way it is, right? V'yishtak u'behefker. They weren't a people of rules yet when they were in Egypt. They were embedded in hefkerut. V'lotikon b'adam hanhaga midinit. They never had politics before. They didn't have leaders, and they didn't know how to take care of themselves. to deal with a free nation and guide them correctly. They didn't have that kind of mindset yet. You have a nation of slaves. It's bound to go into terrible chaos if you just leave them alone and say, okay, take care of yourself. But there are times in history where different nations have colonized different places, and then they just leave and hope for the best. Like, okay, we've given you democracy. Now handle it yourself. And then it almost always goes back to, chaos as it was before, or maybe even worse. Because you have to give training to people. You have to build up their society and their education. That's what the argument that Shaddai is saying. Okay, therefore, Lo ratzah Hashem lehaviyam yad el haaretz ve'el ha-melchamot. That's why God didn't want to bring them immediately to the land and to war. Ki lemorach livavam b'ra'otam melchama. Because what they would do when they saw war, yivcharu b'avoda v'yishuvu mitzrayma. They, you know, they're looking at war. They're going to melt. Their hearts are going to melt, and they're going to go straight back to Egypt and say, "I'd rather be a slave than to fight wars and lose thousands and millions of, you know, of our people." So that's why God redirected them into the desert. So what was the point of the desert? What was that going to be? That was going to be a little capsule. That was going to be a little educational opportunity. To delay them there for some time. This is a hard word, right? And they would become educated, ma'atmat, a little bit and a little bit. Like they're going to become a little more educated. And they would gain the traits necessary to establish themselves in Eretz Yisrael eventually. Right? So that's why they were going to be in the desert. There's another reason for this. And another advantage is, let's say they went into Eretz Yisrael right away. One of the disadvantages is that how are you going to distribute the Torah to all those people? Okay, say everybody come to Yerushalayim, or everyone come to Shiloh, or something like that. There's going to be a problem. It's going to be difficult to teach everybody. But you have the entire nation go straight to a mountain, surround the mountain, and you hear the voice of God. That's a perfect way to distribute the Torah in a way that everybody will receive it. Okay?
So what was the question? Was Midbar then a gigantic re-education camp in terms of pacifism?
Yeah, it was a reprogramming camp, so to speak. Right? Maybe that's a good way to put it. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, practically, if you put them in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to spread out, and it's going to be difficult to give them a Torah. Ulihitla, maybe you're to Hashem to teach them about, it's going to be difficult to teach them about fear of God, and to teach them about how God acts, and to teach them about how to trust in God, under the authority of God and Moshe his servant. So meaning in the Midbar, what they're going to have tremendous trust and fear of God. They're going to see if they complain and if they do bad things, like the Miraglim, let's say, they're going to be punished. If they do bad things like Korach, they're going to be punished. When they are good, they get the man, and they rely on that for food. They get tremendous amount of meat. They get tremendous amount of water. If they just trust in God, and that taught them, that was a little, again, re-education camp specifically for the Jewish people. Shema Yibalus Miyad, the Rashi said, "All right, because if they went immediately into the land, how you mitpardim ish nachlato, if everyone would go immediately to their land, and it would be very difficult, or he says impossible, to teach them into all together. You'd have to do it piecemeal. You have to go to each tribe, everything together. This was a better way to do it. So the original plan obviously was not for it to be 40 years. Otherwise, the punishment of the Meraglim that they were going to stay in the Midbar for 40 years would make no sense. So how long were they going to be there for? So if you actually measure how long it would take to get from Egypt, the bottom of Egypt, all the way to the bottom of Eretz Yisrael, it's actually this way in my, if I'm looking at a map. How long would that take? I think the Ibn Ezra says it's only about 3 to 5 days. So how long would they have been? They wouldn't have been 5 days. They have to go to the Har Sinai, but how long would it have been? Even if it's not 40 days, Mivnei Meraglim, which was 40 years, which was for the Meraglim, Mikomakom Hayim Mitafim Sham Ksat Chadashim. Shadal says maybe it would have been a couple of months. Interesting. Achi Kablu Torah until they receive the Torah, they have mitzvot, biotam kulam sevivot Har Sinai, so that they can all collect around Har Sinai and receive the mitzvot. Biotam ochlim aman, so that they can eat the man and like rely on God. Ubliti torudim ba'avoda adaman, they wouldn't have to be so worrying about working their land, because they're in the desert. There's no worrying about working land in the desert, and it would have been the perfect time to receive the mitzvah, receive the Torah, and to rely on God. In this re-education camp could have happened all together, the entire people, and so then they would be able to fight their war. Unfortunately, they were still not ready, apparently. When the Meraglim happened, their people were still scared to go into Eretz Israel, and so another 40 years had to happen of more education before they could actually go into the land and successfully fight its wars. Very interesting. I think a lot of echoes from the Rambam I'm detecting here, and also very interesting ideas from Shadal, very practical, and also a very interesting philosophical point that God is not going to just change their nature and say, okay, now I'm going to give them strength, I'm going to give them courage. That's not the way God works. God works slowly, and that's how we should interpret the Torah as well, as a slow education over time, perhaps over the course of generations and even thousands of years. I have in mind like Rav Kook's type of understanding of what the mitzvot are doing, and eventually we'll end up with a very prepared people for Mashiach times. All right, Shkoyach.